Welcome to Under the Influence, the podcast where we help chiropractors improve their communication skills so they can help more people and help people more. I'm your host, Dr. Martin Harvey. I'm a chiropractor and I'm an expert in communicating the value of chiropractic. I'm super excited about today's episode of Under the Influence because I'm going to be introducing an idea that I think is a super important one in terms of us having more impact in our communication, in terms of us connecting as chiropractors with people in our practice and in our community, connecting them to the real value that chiropractic can have in a way that's going to make it more likely that they're going to see the value in it. So it's an idea that called the argument dilution effect. The thing that you really need to know, though, is it's an approach that is used by some of the best marketers in the world, including drug companies, to help position their product, services, ideas in a way that makes them more compelling for people. We're going to be applying it in a really kind of ethical way. And there's a bonus to it, which is once you understand the argument dilution effect, it's going to make your ability to communicate much quicker and more succinct and have much more clarity to it. So it's a win on many, many levels. Super excited. But we'll get to that in a minute. A couple of announcements. Edinburgh Lectures almost upon us. By the time this comes out, it will be about a week away. So last chance really to sign up for that. I will be teaching the retention skills workshop on the Friday. Looking forward to seeing a bunch of you who have already signed up for that there. And also we'll be sharing the stage with a bunch of really amazing people on the 10th. So Brad Glowacki, Bismay Schoenfelder, Nona Javid, Amanda Applblatt, Aaron Morris, Skip Weiss, Melissa Sanford, Bettina Tornatoro. So a really high-powered, high-value lineup. So hope to see you there. If you're looking to do something online, I'm going to really focus today on the value of the Retention Recipe 2.0. It's my most popular program for a reason, because it makes practice more fun. It gives you the skills and frameworks to be able to really simply communicate the value of chiropractic in an elegant way in the first 12 visits. So pretty simple. It's online. You can check out to see whether it's for you or not by watching the free preview lessons. The link is in the show notes. So only other announcement really is Bismay and I will be sending out more details about the Grow Your Tribe event that we put on together, the in-person event. At the moment, date is 26th of August in Queensland. So more on that later. So what I want to talk about with this argument dilution effect is really an answer to a whole lot of problems. The big problem is people finding that, and I'm going to zoom in on the application of it to the report of findings for today's podcast, but you'll probably see as we're going through that has applications throughout the communication that you do in your office and outside of it. But some signs that you might need to dive deeper into the argument dilution effect is if your report of findings take a long time. So I was prompted to talk about this because I've been working with a couple of chiropractors who are doing the retention recipe and talking to them about how long a report of findings takes. And some of them were saying that if it takes them at least half an hour. I had one guy who was saying it really takes him 40 minutes. And my take on it is that you should be able to deliver your information in 10 to 20 minutes. If it's any longer than that, it's really detracting from its effectiveness. Really, you should be 10 to 15 minutes is kind of a sweet spot. Now, the visit might take longer than that because you've got time to do an adjustment. And it's also a visit that I think you want to make sure that there's time and space for people to express concerns, but it should be shorter rather than longer. So the advantage of having them shorter is that it's much easier to schedule them. It's much easier for people to find times that suit them. If you feel like you need half an hour to map out your program, it's tempting to, when you're under time pressure, you're running a little bit late, or you know, you've got somebody who you feel might be complex, it's to sort of rush through it and you don't do as good a job. You don't really have the opportunity for it to be a conversation. It also, if you need a lot of time, it forces you to run late at times. And what I find chiropractors often do is that they then soften their recommendations, that rather than giving the person recommendations that they really need, they will make it less of a program because they're worried that somebody will have a lot of questions or push back on it and they don't have time to deal with it. So they'll say, oh, look, let's just do twice a week for the next couple of weeks and then we'll see where we are up to there. Or they vague them out. So one of the things that I talk a lot about is the key to an effective report of findings is you've got to give people something that they can say no to. You've got to be very specific in saying, this is exactly what I recommend we do through this period. And the idea is if you give people something to say that they could say no to, then they can actually say yes. If it's so vague that it's like, let's just do X and then see how you go, if there's nothing there that they can really say no to, the paradox or the flip side of that is they can't actually really say yes to what you're about either. So, really important that we have a report of findings that allows us that clarity, that succinctness, that certainty in terms of what we're recommending. And the rule that I have with that is people should be able to say yes or no to it. And if they can't say that, then they're really saying no. The default is no. Bottom line, also, if you have a really long report of findings, you're confusing people. There's too much detail, and people can't process a whole lot of information. And if they're overwhelmed or confused, then they tend to say no. There's a default bias towards not doing things that you're not certain about. So if we look at it in really simple terms, in terms of what consumers' expectations and needs are, different visits have very specific purposes. So if we look at, for instance, at the first visit, the first need that people have on a first visit is to be heard. And so we've covered that in other episodes of the podcast where it's super important that we make sure that people are heard. But the job of the report of findings really is to answer a couple of simple questions. What's wrong? So you need to tell them what the problem is. They want to know, can you help me? And then if you can help me, how long is it going to take? How often am I going to need to see you? And how much is it going to cost? And you need to have a certain degree of clarity around or a framework around that. But for them to make that decision, whether it is a yes or a no, we need to be able to demonstrate the value of them saying yes. And the core idea when we look at the science of value is it's not really up to us. We can see tremendous value in eliminating subluxation, of restoring a cervical curve, of improving afferent input into the nervous system to have better brain-body communication. But the bottom line is most people do not give a shit about that at all. They don't care about those things. They don't care about chiropractic. They don't care about health. But they do have things that they do value very, very highly that we can, first of all, understand what they are and then connect chiropractic to them. And so, in doing so, we can have a tremendous amount of influence on them. So, I'm going to push pause on that train of thought and come back to it in a minute. Now, I want to get into this idea of what the argument dilution effect is. So, I mentioned earlier that if we receive too much information, it interferes with our ability to process it. And so we go to these kind of rules of thumb of dealing with information. So often, when people are doing a report of findings and it's long, they're layering into it lots of extraneous information that they think is going to add value. So they're talking about what we need to do is to improve your cervical curve, what we need to do is to reduce these areas of subluxation, and what that's going to do is improve nerve communication to your brain and from your brain out to your body. And this is called disafferentation, and we're restoring afferent input. And a lot of people notice their energy levels are better, and blah, 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 blah. And we, in our mind, feel like if we have more benefits that we're stacking up, that that's going to create more value to them. And we're essentially having this perspective that if we have more arguments as to why they would get more value from chiropractic care, that that's going to help them see more value. What the psychology tells us, what the research in this area tells us, is when we mix strong arguments with weak arguments, though the value doesn't add together, people just average them. So if in this context we go back to what people, so most of those things people don't value, they, I've already said they don't really care whether they have a good cervical curve. They don't care whether they have better brain-body communication. They don't really care whether their health potential is improved. What they do care about is pretty simple. They care about getting to do the things that are important to them, the things that they love to do, or the things that they see as their role or identity to do, whether that's taking care of their kids, whether that's playing tennis, whether that's gardening, whether that's their ability to work and be a provider for their family. Whatever their lifestyle value is, they care deeply about being able to either get back to doing that if they're interfered with that, or prevent going back to not being able to do that, or being able to do that at a greater level. So we've got that classic pain prevention performance framework that we've spoken a lot about there. But if we're looking at the quality of the argument for the benefit of chiropractic care, we need to stick to the things that have high value to them, i.e., in our report of findings, we're talking about. So the important thing is your problem is that your spine isn't working properly and that's stopping you from being able to play tennis. And we go into a small amount of detail with that. But what we need to do to be able to get you back on track is XYZ. And we map out our program. But the value is in this will help you get back to being able to play tennis. That's the high value. And we don't want to dilute it. So, little segue here. I want to talk about a little bit of research that was done by a psychology science scientist called, I've forgotten his first name, but Sivanathan is the surname. And what he talks about, and there's a research article published in 2017 where he talks a lot about the application of the argument dilution effect and the application of that by drug marketers. And in particular, what he talks about is that two groups of people were shown lists of the side effects of the same drug. So this is kind of the reverse of our application of it. But one group's list contained both the major and minor side effects. So we've got this, the big bit, and then some more minor bits all mixed together. And the other group were just showing the major side effects. And the thing that's almost paradoxical about it was that the people who were shown the both the major and the minor side effects looked. They judged the overall side effects to be significantly lower, that they were much less severe than those who were only exposed to the major side effects. So their brain essentially said, well, I'm averaging this out and it's not such a big deal. And so, and the, furthermore, what he concluded with this is that they, the people who were shown the bigger list of things were much more likely to want to take the drug. If we flip this around, though, if we're giving more and more and more reasons why people should have chiropractic care, but a lot of them aren't relevant or valuable to that person, we actually reduce the overall impact. Whereas if we focus just on the specific benefit that's likely to be of value to them, much more compelling. So when we're talking about this in the retention recipe 2.0, we focus just a lot on the first visit. Let's understand what their lifestyle value is. Let's understand what would be meaningful for them. And then we bookend that into the communication on the report of findings. It's all about getting them back to that. And then the communication moving on from there, the majority of it should be about the connection between chiropractic and their lifestyle value. So it has the effect of being a more effective way of people seeing the value of chiropractic. So more people are going to sign, more people are going to decide to have care with you. They're going to more likely continue their care through their program of care. But it also allows us a framework of connecting the value for beyond that pain base to prevention and on to performance. So, if we look then at the secondary values of this to you, and I'm trying to avoid the dilution effect myself here, it's also going to be much quicker for you. You're going to need to spend way less time on a report of findings, and they're going to be more impactful and effective. So I'd love to hear what you think of today's episode. I'd also just like to ask a favor. If this is something that you feel would be valuable to friends or colleagues, I'd love for you to share this episode with them. Send them a message with a link to this episode, because I really feel that this patient-centered communication approach is what is going to help us get chiropractic to more people, but it also enhances the reputation of chiropractic because it is client-centered, it's ethical, and it's going to help more people live healthier, happier, more active lives. If you like today's episode, then you will love the Retention Recipe 2.0. It's an online workshop that is broken into 33 lessons and has over 7 hours of content, which will teach you to confidently communicate the value of proactive chiropractic in the first 12 visits. So if we want to have long-term retention, if we want people to stay with us for months, years, and reap the really amazing health benefits that happen with long-term chiropractic care, we need to set the foundation for that in the first 12 visits. So the approaches in the Retention Recipe 2.0 are based on state-of-the-art influence strategies that are effective, ethical, and they're enjoyable to use. They will help you to have more fun, less stress, and increase your retention, which means more practice growth and less always being on the hunt for new people. Check it out in the link in the show notes.